Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare
श्रील कृष्णदास कविराज गोस्वामी की Bhakti Vedanta Purports Ki Jam. Srila Prabhupada's Mahavyasa Puja Mahamotsava Ki Jam. Nitai Go Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Gaur Premanande. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Madhya Lila, chapter 22, the process of devotional service. This particular verse and the essential purport that I'm about to read, the whole Krishna Consciousness Movement, that means the International Society for Krishna Consciousness that Prabhupada formed, is based on this particular verse and on this particular purport. That is how important it is. So we shall read. Some of you may know the verse. It's a famous verse that Prabhupada often quotes from Padma Purana, and it's also given by Krishna as Kaviraj as one of the verses in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So if you can try your best. You can say the verse after me. Smartavya Sadatam Vishnu
Smartavya Sadatam Vishnu
Vishmartavya Najatu Chet
Sarve Vidhi
Nishedasyu
Sarve Vidhi Nishedasyu
Etayo Eva Kim Kara. So we'll do the word for word together. So that's how important this verse is. So you can repeat after me. Smartavya.
Smartavya.
To be remembered. Satatam.
Satatam.
Always.
Always.
Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, O Krishna, Vishmatavya, and to be forgotten, na, not, jatuchit, at any time, sarve, all, vidinishada,
rules and regulations
mentioned in the revealed scripture,
or given by
the spiritual master. Siyu
should be
etayo
of these two principles,
always to
remember Krishna,
O Vishnu,
and never to forget him.
Ever,
certainly,
Kinkara,
the servants.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace,
A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami,
Srila Prabhupada. You can repeat the translation
after me, some words at a time.
Krishna
is the origin
of Lord Vishnu.
He should
always be
remembered
and never forgotten
at any time.
All the rules
and prohibitions
mentioned
in the Shastras
should be
the servants
of these two principles.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
This verse is a quotation from the Padma Purana.
There are many regulative principles in the Shastras
and directions given by the spiritual master.
These regulative principles should act as servants of the basic principle.
That is, one should always remember Krishna and never forget him.
This is possible when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Therefore, one must strictly chant the Hare Krishna Maha mantra 24 hours daily. Is that all right?
One may have other duties to perform under the direction of the spiritual master,
but he must first abide by the spiritual master's order to chant a certain number of rounds.
In our Krishna consciousness movement, we have recommended that the neophyte chant at least 16 rounds.
This chanting of 16 rounds is absolutely necessary if one wants to remember Krishna and not forget him.
Of all the regulative principles, the spiritual master's order to chant at least 16 rounds is most essential.
One may sell books or enlist life members or render some other service,
but these duties are not ordinary duties.
These duties serve
as an impetus for remembering Krishna. When one goes with a Sankirtan party or sells books, he naturally remembers that he is going to sell Krishna's books. In this way, he is remembering Krishna. When one goes to enlist a life member, he talks about Krishna and thereby remembers him. Smartavya satatam Vishnu, Vishmartavya na jatuchet. The conclusion is that one must act in such a way that he will always remember Krishna, and one must refrain from doing things that make him forget Krishna. These two principles form the basis background of Krishna consciousness. Omagyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve nama. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Tadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschata Desatarine Vanchakalpa Tagubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In July 1935, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he came to Bombay, Mumbai at that time. He came to install a deity of Lord Krishna and also begin the deity worship under his instructions in the Gaudiya Math Bombay Center, like that. And he was very happy and pleased with what his disciples had done so far under the able leadership of a sannyas disciple who was the president of the center, named Bhakti Saranga Maharaj, Swami Maharaj. And this leading disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When Bhakti Saranga Maharaj met with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur privately about the report of the organization of the center and how we're going to go about installing the deity and encouraging devotees and informing them about the principles of deity worship, the first thing he told Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that our Abai Babu, he wasn't even initiated in that sense. In other words, he's initiated, but you know, he's like not the member of. In a way, normally we say Abhay Charanaravinda Prabhu. This sannyasi didn't say that. He called him Babu. Now, Babu is like a term that is used in an affectionate way, saying my speaker. Like that. See? In that sense. Although Srila Prabhupada like, was initiated, and many, you could say, congregation members were also initiated, but they wasn't taken, you know, like seriously as those who were living in the mat. So this term Prabhu or Das or Dasi, you know, didn't sort of, you know, gel with them, although they were initiated. But His Holiness Bhakti Saranga Swami Maharaj, he was actually very impressed with Abhay Babu. That's how we called him, Abhay Babu. She said Abhay Prabhu or something, you know. But he was very impressed like that. So he admitted to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that most of the work and services we wouldn't have been able to do and complete in time for your coming here if it was not for Abhay Babu. And he is the one that collected most of the funds and actually established this new center like that. And then he asked Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, although he is outside, and we know that people who work and live outside, they do not have so much time for devotional service. But it is interesting that although he is a pharmacist, chemist, like that, Bhakti Saranga Maharaj said that Srila Prabhupada, Abhay Babu, you know, like that, that he has done so much service for the center, like that, that even all the devotees that are living, the brahmacharis and so forth, even they will collect and come back. But you cannot compare the amount of service and the result of the service that Abhay Babu has done. You cannot compare. So we can just see, even Srila Prabhupada as a householder, even as a person who was working way back in 1935. This is the 1 year before Srila Bhakti Saranga Saraswati Thakur could leave the planet in 1936, way back in 1935. That he did much more service, even collectively, than all the full-time devotees in the mission, in the mark, including the sannyasis, like that. So that's how impressed Bhakti Saranga Maharaj was with Srila Prabhupada, Abhay Babu at that time. So then he said, because we are dependent on him, of what he has done, I am strongly recommending that he take my position as the president of the center. He takes my position as the president of the center, like that. So Srila Bhakti Saraswati Thakur replied in a sort of instructive tone, no, it is better that he is living outside your company. Interesting, right? You don't have to recommend him to me. I already know him. And then he gave this instructive thing and he said the sentence, and when the time comes, he will do everything himself. But the time is not ready. Like that. You don't have to even recommend him to me. I know him very well. Like that. So Bhakti Saranga Maharaj was like shocked. You know, here's Abhay Babu, a grihastha, working as a manager, as a pharmacist, and so forth. But how come Srila Bhakti Saranga Saraswati said, this about a Bhai Babu, he's not even a sannyasi. He wasn't even a brahmachari. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says like this, that when the time comes, he, in due course, he will do everything himself. Like that. And he was so moved, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was so moved by this, because he had affection for Abhay Babu, because he did everything for the month like that. He immediately told his Garbhan this. This is what Guru Maharaj has said, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, like that. And then that word went to, exactly those words, it reached Abhay Babu's ears. And when he reached Abhay Babu's ears, he realized, my spiritual master knows me and I have to live up to his expectations. And he treasured those words within himself and he just meditated upon the meaning. He didn't know what's going to happen. In that sense, like that. Now, one time, Srila Prabhupada had an exchange with a disciple. And Srila Prabhupada asked that disciple, a leading disciple, what is the most important verse in the scripture? Right. And the disciple, he recited, you know, automatically he recited, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevala, Kalo Nasdeva, Nasdeva, Nasdeva Gati Ranyata. Like that. That means, in this age of Kali, there is no other way. There is no other means, no other means, no other means for self-realization save and except through the process of the chanting of the holy names, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the disciple explained. Prabhupada was very happy. The disciple explained like that. Then he looked at Prabhupada and he saw that Prabhupada was happy, but he was disapproving. This is not the most important verse. Like that. So therefore Prabhupada said, no. And he quoted the most important verse. Yasya deve para bhakti yata deve tata guru. Like that. Tasya iti katita hi arta prakashate mahat manaha. But especially the first two lines is often quoted. Yasya deve para bhakti yata deve tata guru. Prabhupada says from the Svetasuttara Upanishad, this is the most important verse in the scripture. And the meaning is, unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master, like that, then automatically, by its own revelation, it descends by its own mercy into the consciousness of the disciple. Such a disciple who has implicit faith in the both the Lord and the spiritual master, he descends by its own mercy all the imports of the Vedic knowledge. They are automatically revealed by revelation into the heart and consciousness of the disciple. Prabhupada said this is the most important verse. So those who do not have guru, it's not going to work. And those who have guru and do not follow the guru, it's not going to work. You have to have implicit faith in the guru parampara and both the supreme lord. In that sense, like that. So why Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse? Because this verse fully and in full realization applies to Srila Prabhupada himself. Applies to Srila Prabhupada himself, who had full faith in the instructions and the words of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Like that. And those very words that he received through Bhakti Saranga Maharaj and his other godbrothers, that when the time comes, he will do everything himself. When the time comes, he will do everything himself. Now, another time, I'm just taking it beginning before Prabhupada went to the Western and so forth. Another time, one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave you the instruction to preach Krishna consciousness in the English speaking language, especially into the Western world in 1922. But you only came here in 1965. What took you so long? You know, some disciples are bold, they'll ask like that. From 1922 to 1965 is 43 years in India. 43 years in India. What took you so long? Then Srila Prabhupada put his head down. You know, in our humility, he said one sentence, that the spiritual master's instruction may be suspended, but never ever neglected. Very important. In other words, we may receive an instruction, but the instruction cannot be realized immediately. Understand? It may be suspended, but never ever neglected. In due course of time, you have to fulfill it. Like that. So what he couldn't do in 43 years with great struggle in India, he did in the short span of 1966 to 1977, in 11 short years, compared to the 43 long years of the instruction prior to that. Very important. The spiritual master's instruction may be suspended, but never ever neglected. In that sense. Now, before Srila Prabhupada went to the West, he practically was a highly successful businessman. In fact, when they did the astrological calculations at the time of his appearance, one of the things that they mentioned, that this baby will become one of the richest men in the world. Are you aware of this? Yes. And Srila Prabhupada went on to open branches all over India, including in Allahabad, where he received initiation. Abhay Charanaravind, where he received initiation. He opened branches all over India, and he was becoming super wealthy materially. Like that. Until his middle managers started cheating him. Cheating him. Like that. So then, slowly the profits that he was making was being stolen by his own workers and middle management, especially, like that. And he was losing interest also in the business, in that sense, like that. So eventually, his wife cheated him, like that. She took his prized volumes of the commentaries of the previous acharyas, you know, of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which he was reading and studying daily, like that. So he was reading and studying daily. She took his Bhagavatams and she traded it for biscuits. And when he came home one day, where is my Bhagavatams? Well, there was no money, I just gave it for biscuits. And why are you not giving up tea? It's either tea or me. Which do you choose? She chose tea. He left home. And he went to live in Vrindavan as a vanaprastha. So then Srila Prabhupada felt at that time before, he felt at that time that you know, he is losing everything, like that. He's losing everything. And then he came across one verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yasyam anugrinane ahisse tad dhanan sanai. So this yasyam anugrinane ahisse, like that. Dhanam, wealth, and so forth, like that. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Prabhupada explains that the very word Hari means one who takes away everything, like that. And if one connects himself or herself to Hari, you must expect that Hari or Krishna will take away all your miseries. Not that he's taking away your material things, he's actually taking away your miseries. You may see that, oh, he's taken Prabhupada's wealth, Prabhupada's family, he's taken all this, but what is actually taking away, Prabhupada says, and quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that Krishna takes away your miseries by taking away everything from you. Because that which you have is giving you misery. If he takes away that thing that you have, then your misery is gone. That is the name of Hari. Like that. And in the beginning, the Lord may appear to be superficially taking everything that you possess, your material possessions, your reputation, your education, and Prabhupada says, even the Lord may take away your beauty of your body, in that sense, like that, takes away everything. Because to be beautiful in the material world is miserable. Yes? Miserable. Because you'll be disloyal. You'll be unfaithful. That's miserable. You'll be unchaste. Just miserable. Like that. So Prabhupada said he'll take away that too. Because it is miserable in the material world. Like that. So therefore, this anugrihani arisya, like that. Yasyaham anugrihani arisya. Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna tested me like anything. He said, Krishna tested me by taking my business away, by taking my wealth away, by taking my wife away, by taking my children away, and Krishna left me with nothing. But I know I was only left with one person, I am left only one person, and I am only left with Krishna. So when Krishna takes away everything, he gives you himself. That's the greatest love, the greatest treasure. And then Srila Prabhupada said, when Krishna took everything away and he gave me himself, I was fully peaceful and satisfied living in Vrindavan. Like that. And when I only received Krishna and nothing material kept with me and was taken away, then I took sannyas. And that too I was pushed to take sannyas in dreams by my spiritual master through the agency of Bhakti Pragya Keshava Maharaj. His godfather in Mathura. And he took sannyas in 1959. There about, like that, preparing for oneself. Then Srila Prabhupada went to the West, struggled in New York City, you know, the two heart attacks in the Jaladuta and so forth like that, struggled in New York City. Srila Prabhupada, when he entered into New York City, after arriving in Boston and then going on to New York City, like that, Srila Prabhupada said when he came out, he didn't know whether to turn left, right, or go forward, or go back to the ship. He didn't know. Imagine, you're in a place you don't know where to go next. You get right, nobody's there. And you don't know where to go. And Prabhupada said, it's as if I was entering into the wilderness. When he saw the concrete jungle of New York City, I was entering into the wilderness. So later on, after ISKCON was developed and it became the world acharya, the founder acharya of ISKCON, like that. So he relaxed in Los Angeles temple in his room, you know, in the mid-1970s and so forth, he was relaxed. And remembering how he was struggling in India and how he struggled in the West, and then ISKCON took its shape and was expanding, and where Hare Krishna Maha Mantra became a household name. Everyone knew who was the Hare Krishna movement and ISKCON like that. And then Srila Prabhupada said, first Krishna tested me by taking away everything. And Srila Prabhupada said, I could not understand how that prophecy will come true that I'll become the richest man in the world. I could not understand. And then he started explaining to his disciples. He said, and now, everywhere I go, I live in a palace. Many temples and his rooms are there and there. And everywhere I go, there are at least 1 dozen cars waiting for me to take me around. Like that. And everywhere I go, there are at least 20 cooks are ready to cook for me at my beckoning and call. And he said, without working, I easily get money into my book fund account. He used to call it book fund, BBT, book fund account. And he said, and Rameshwar, and how much do I get monthly in my book fund account? Rameshwar said proudly, Srila Prabhupada, a minimum $100,000. So Prabhupada said, where is the richest man in the world who doesn't work? And I travel more than most rich men are able to travel. Like that. And then he said, and I have servants. And my servants, some of them come from the richest and wealthiest families on this planet. Like that. And I didn't even give them one paisa in return as a salary. And they serve me. Like that. So Srila Prabhupada was just glorifying, not himself, but he was saying, yes, I am the richest man in the world. I am the richest man in the world. And then Srila Prabhupada said to his disciples, and why is that? Why is that? First Krishna tested me by taking everything away. Now Krishna is again testing me by giving me everything. He's giving me the whole world at my feet. He's giving me everything. And why is Krishna giving me everything? And then Srila Prabhupada said, because I never spent even a farthing. Now a farthing is insignificant. Because I never spent even a farthing for my sense gratification. And whatever came to me, I only spent it for the pleasure of Krishna, to make Krishna happy, in that sense. So therefore, the principle is that if we don't misspend even one farthing for our sense gratification, so much will come unlimitedly. So much will come unlimitedly. Prabhupada said that is the principle. So Srila Prabhupada, eventually, they built for him his personal palace. These are the most expensive, materially speaking, home that he has. Who knows where? Where? Not Prabhupada's palace of gold. No. Where he personally stayed. Hare Krishna land, Juhu. Fifth floor of the guest house building on the Jewish side, the western side. How many of you have been there? This is his biggest quarters in the world. In one floor below that, there are maybe 12 guest rooms, or maybe more, right? This is the whole floor for him. Like that. It's a whole floor for Srila Prabhupada. So when Srila Prabhupada first entered those rooms, his home, I was speaking to Brajhari Prabhu recently in January of this year, and I said, how much would Srila Prabhupada's floor be worth? Just the floor, you know, be worth. And overseeing the Juhu Beach, you know, you can get the breeze. And just down the road is the 5-star hotel, Sheraton and Holiday Inns. And it's a high real estate, very high. The whole Hare Krishna land is more expensive in real estate than the 800 acres that we have in Mayapur. Just these 4 or 5 acres is more expensive than all that land in Mayapur. So how much is Prabhupada's floor worth? Is it nothing less than $25 million? If you see the ornate wood that is used in there, you see it? Those columns. Just the wood alone is like worth at least $500,000. You know, those pillars. You see them? Amazing. Amazing. How they did for Prabhupada. You know. Prabhupada was very pleased and happy with the efforts to give him a palatial floor like that on the fifth floor. So when he entered the rooms, and he said, "So what will I do then?" He said, "Prabhupada, here you will honor Prasada. Just one room for honoring Prasada." "Prabhupada, what will you do then?" "There you will write your letters." You'll see. One room is writing letters only. "Prabhupada, what would you do there?" "At this place you will do your dictation." Translation. Your dictation, translation. "Prabhupada, what would you do there?" "There you'll take your afternoon nap. And this room you will take rest in the evening." Two different places. "Prabhupada, what would you do here?" "This is your darshan room. Where will you meet people?" Like that. And so forth. "And what is this?" "Prabhupada, this is for the servant, because this is for the reception area." Beautiful. And again, I've always been there. This is one place on the planet where you can feel the immense presence of Srila Prabhupada. Immense. You get affected immediately when you go there. It's like Krishna consciousness, but Prabhupada consciousness is there. Exactly what he did. And you see all these beautiful letters that he wrote to the devotees and so forth. So Prabhupada, after the devotees explained to him what will he do and so forth, because he knew exactly what his activities are as the founder acharya, for his translation of his books, for his prasadam, for his massage and so forth. Like that, exactly. Personal kitchen he has there too. Like that. Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes. So that's where I will translate. That is where I will rest. And that is where I will honor prasadam. And that is where I will meet people." Right. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Just like my rooms at Radha Damodar. Just like my rooms at Radha Damodar." In other words, when I was living in the Radha Damodar temple, if you know those rooms, you know, Prabhupada's one, two, three. You know, Prabhupada used to pass urine in one place and pass stool in another place and take shower in another place. There. In Juhu. It's different places like that. In other words, it was super opulent by material standards, super opulent. Like this. There's nowhere such a place. Not even his rooms in Los Angeles temple. Upstairs, not so big. Not even his rooms in Vrindavan, not so big. Huge like that. And Prabhupada makes the statement, "Just like my rooms in Radha Damodar. In one corner, I used to honor prasada. In one corner, I used to translate Srimad Bhagavatam if I went to the West. In one corner, I used to take rest." And he's talking about one small room at Radha Damodar. "And then in the veranda, I used to meet people. And then on the other side is my kitchen. And then from that window, I see the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami." Like that. And he says that from these windows, I get the breeze from the Arabian Sea. And this is a Vaikuntha breeze. Prabhupada, this is a Vaikuntha breeze. Now just see, this founder Acharya, he was never bewildered. Never ever bewildered by facility. He was never ever bewildered by material opulence. Even everything that is used is spiritual in the service of the Lord. Never ever bewildered. Humbly saying, "This is like my rooms at Radha Damodar." And the devotees were like bewildered and shocked. How can Prabhupada compare Radha Damodar rooms to these rooms? But that's how Prabhupada is, as simple as ever, eternally. as simple as ever eternally, never ever be altered in that way. One time in Paris, we have a place called New Mayapur there. Srila Prabhupada was sitting behind his desk, and he was beneath, that place is still there where he used to sit, and beneath that, he was beneath that, above him was a large painting of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, like that. And Srila Prabhupada was expressing himself to his disciples in the darshan room. He was relaxed and he experienced and voiced great satisfaction at how he is pleasing his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This is 1 year before he could leave, about in 1976, July, in that way. So then Prabhupada immediately told the disciples, they saw that how happy and how pleased and satisfied he is with the efforts of spreading Krishna consciousness movement through ISKCON, like that. And immediately Srila Prabhupada says, yasya deve para bhakti yatya deva tata guru, and it looks to his Guru Maharaj. Always in connection with this Guru Maharaj, a humble, a simple servant like that. And he said, this desire to serve Guru is the only qualification in my spiritual life. Like that. And this is the secret of success. Like that. And he said, our Gaudiya people, he mentioned that. Our Gaudiya people, they could not get access to this secret of success, is to 100% follow the order, implicit order, and have faith in that order, both in the Lord and the disciplic succession, the spiritual master. And he said, and those leaders, they wanted to supersede and become greater than Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That's why they have failed. In that sense, like that. So this is extremely important. Extremely important. Now, there is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. His name is Brahmananda Prabhu. And Mother Chaitanya Devi was mentioning him this morning in a glorification of Prabhupada, that how he accompanied Srila Prabhupada and came here to Nairobi. You remember this? She was explaining that too, in that sense. Now, Srila Prabhupada says in a purport in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says in a purport in Bhagavad Gita, I'll just read it for you. This is chapter 13, from text 8 to 12. It's a lengthy purport. And it is in relation to the famous words that Prabhupada often quotes in relation to Guru, Acharya Upasana. Acharya Upasana means one should approach a bona fide spiritual master and render service and receive instructions and mercy and guidance from him. Like that. So, the actual part of the purport is as follows. As for acceptance of the spiritual master, that is essential. Because without the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master, one cannot progress in the spiritual sense. One should approach the spiritual master with all humility and offer him all services so that he will be pleased to bestow his blessings upon the disciple. Because a bona fide spiritual master is a representative of Krishna, if he bestows any blessings upon his disciple, that will make the disciple immediately advanced without the disciples following the regulated principles. Even if they break the principles. Interesting. That is a full stop. This is not a mistake. It's in the microfiche in the archives. Bhaktivedanta archives. It's exactly as it is. Or the regulative principles will be easier for one who has served the spiritual master without reservation. This is only applicable for someone who is connected to Śrīla Prabhupāda and ISKCON. If you're outside of this, it doesn't connect to you. Like that. Can you imagine that somebody who has served Śrīla Prabhupāda unreservedly, gave the youth and gave the young adulthood and has not committed sin, following the four regulative principles and chanting minimum 16 rounds daily, and they have served Śrīla Prabhupāda like Brahmananda Prabhu, and he came here as a sannyasi, Brahmananda Swami. Like that. And what Prabhupāda says? Because a bona fide spiritual master is a representative of Krishna, he's meaning himself. Like that. If he bestows any blessings upon his disciple, that will make the disciple immediately advanced, even without following the regulated principles. And the regulated principles are intoxication, meat eating, gambling, and illicit activity. So Brahmananda Prabhu, he was in South India in a clinic, in an Ayurvedic clinic, taking some naturopathic treatment and so forth. So one of our sannyasis, who's a grand disciple of Prabhupada, like myself, like that, one of our sannyasis happened to also be in that clinic. And he didn't know Brahmananda Prabhu was also in that clinic. So when he was taking treatment and he was strolling in the grounds, big place, this clinic, as in many acres of land and so forth, strolling the grounds, he looked carefully and said, "Oh, this is Brahmananda Prabhu." Like so he goes up to Brahmananda Prabhu. This devotee's name is Bhaktivinoda Swami. Like that. At that time he was known as Sarvaishnava Prabhu. So he went up to Brahmananda Prabhu and he said, "Brahmananda Prabhu, I didn't know you here. I'm from this area, Coimbatore, like this. Anything you need, I will get for you. I can get you prasad, everything, no problem." He's trying to serve Brahmananda Prabhu like that. So Brahmananda Prabhu became pleased with him. And then he asked Brahmananda Prabhu, he took advantage of his nice association, and one of the earliest disciples of Prabhupada, got so much association with Śrīla Prabhupada and so forth. So he asked Brahmananda Prabhu various questions, and Brahmananda Prabhu answered. Now Brahmananda Prabhu is one of those several devotees who knows more about Śrīla Prabhupada than most. I think personally trained by Prabhupada. So he asked Brahmananda Prabhu, "What is the most important thing you can tell me in relation to Śrīla Prabhupāda and you?" So Brahmananda Prabhu told him, "You must always complete your minimum 16 rounds japa daily in the morning before you do anything else." So he said, "Is it that simple?" Brahmananda Prabhu said,
Yes, it is that simple. Like that.
So a few days were going, he was with his treatment and so forth. And then in the morning he chants his rounds. But he never saw Brahmananda Prabhu with a beanbag. He never saw him with a beanbag. Like that. So he was curious, you know. So a few days went by, he asked Brahmananda Prabhu, you told me this, and I'm following what you told me. I chant in the morning. I've been doing it before. I know it's important to do my 16 rounds before I do anything else. But you know, I don't see you with your beanbag. Like that. The Brahman Prabhupada told him, that is why I'm telling you that. That is why I'm telling you that. Because I'm talking from experience. That I wasn't chanting my rounds. And that is why. I do not have any connection with Srila Prabhupada. And that is why. So you make sure you do this. Even if you don't see me doing it, you make sure you do this. Amazing. It's the voice of God. It's amazing. Then he asked Brahmananda Prabhu, so then what about you? And then he said, me? I don't know. But I know one thing. The person I am most attached to is Srila Prabhupada. The person I am most attached to is Srila Prabhupada. So this is the secret. The secret is that even if you cannot follow nicely, you become attached to not only Srila Prabhupada, you become attached to an advance of pure devotees. Become attached to them. And the example is, a mother is attached to a son. A father is attached to the daughter. Even if the son is a rascal, even if the son is a murderer or a criminal, does the mother give attachment up? She will still go and take food to the jail. She will still go. Because she is attached to the son and the son is attached to her. So attachment to pure devotees, attachment to advanced souls is the most important thing. Is the most important thing. And then Brahmananda Prabhu said something. He said, although I am attached to Srila Prabhupada and I may not be following nicely, but I know that Prabhupada will be there for me. And he said, even if you try to leave Prabhupada, Prabhupada will haunt you. He will never leave you. Like this. So when I read this particular purport of Acharya Upasana in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, verses 8 to 12, I thought this nicely applies to so many disciples of Srila Prabhupada who gave their youth and young adulthood for the service of the mission of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Just as Brahmananda Swami came here. And Prabhupada never forgets that service. They went through so much austerity. Brahmananda himself went through so much austerity, not only in East Africa, he was also in West Africa. You know this? He was in West Africa, pioneering the Krishna consciousness movement. Like that. Practically. And that is never forgotten by Srila Prabhupada. So what these devotees followers of Srila Prabhupada like Brahmananda Prabhu, His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami, because he comes here and so forth, what they have done, we are simply enjoying. We are simply enjoying. We should not come to enjoy. We should come to serve and try to go for pioneering efforts in Krishna consciousness. There's so many places still in Africa left for that. They take risks. Of course, it's a risk to go to Somalia, maybe a risk to go to Sudan, maybe no risk to Rwanda, maybe little risk in Burundi. But these are places that you have to go to, Ethiopia and then. So they have given us all these things. And therefore, because the spiritual master, Prabhupada, is there, right there, if he bestows any blessings upon his disciple, that disciple will advance, even if he cannot be able to follow the regulative principles. Right there. It's extremely important in that sense. Now, what time do we stop? Soon. Okay. Security problem, eh? Okay. Three more little things and conclude for today. Right there. The first temple president of Delhi temple, his name is Chajas Prabhu. He was originally there in Delhi. Right there. And Prabhupada instructed him that you should collect in Delhi temple to build the Vrindavan temple. In other words, he couldn't build the temple in Delhi. He said, you don't build anything here, you build in Vrindavan. Like that. So, because Tejas Prabhu, he used to live in India before that, especially in Andhra Pradesh. He's American from Boston. And he got to know Hindi, he knows how to speak Telugu and so forth, like that. See? So, Prabhupada was very impressed with him. Very wonderful devotee. Anyone met Tejas Prabhu? Very wonderful, amazing devotee. He knows all the earliest pastime situations in India, especially in Delhi. Okay. So Prabhupada had so much faith in him that he made him a managing trustee along with two other sannyas disciples, Mahamsa Swami and Hansadutta Swami, for the last project that he opened in India before he left the planet, and that is in Hyderabad farm. That was the last place he went, tried to lay the cornerstone and so forth for the temple to be built, and a major farm, several hundred acres I believe, like that. Prabhupada had a lot of hope for the Hyderabad project because he knew that Tejas also knew the language, local language, Telugu, in Andhra Pradesh, like that. So when he assigned Tejas as one of the three managing trustees, along with Mahamsa Swami and Hansadutta Swami, and he said, now your managing trustees, get this farm going, like that. Because that was the biggest piece of land Prabhupada bought in India at that time. It's the biggest piece of land in Hyderabad, like that. How do you say Hyderabad or Hyderabad? Hyderabad. Hyderabad. Okay. Now, unfortunately, due to like misunderstandings and miscommunication amongst them, like that, some paranoia was there and a desire to control, especially from Mahamsa Swami. Desire to control. So in that way, big misunderstandings started developing between Mahamsa Swami on one side and on the other side between Hansaputta Swami and Tejas Prabhu. Just two like sides among the managing trustees, like that. So Srila Prabhupada knew this. He knew this very well, like that. He said, I am making you managing trustees because I trust you three. I don't trust anyone else. I trust you three. You've given your life to me. They're all foreigners. You've given your life to me. And therefore you're in a foreign land, but this is India. But I trust you. Therefore you have to work together. Like that. So Prabhupada knew of the misunderstandings and miscommunications and so forth. So Prabhupada tried his best to mediate between themselves and tried to tell them, you know, cooperate and work together, like that. And then Prabhupada told them one time, all three of them, do not be bureaucratic. So they understood. And then he even instructed Tejas. He said, you go out in the back. And the back means out of my sight. You go out in the back. You fight it out with Mahamsa Swami. Even if you fight like cats and dogs, you just finish this up and get the project going. Prabhupada said, go and fight. Come to a decision and get the project going. And you know, everyone is relatively young, you know, in the late 20s, early 30s, you know, these projects are like that. Yeah. So Prabhupada said that they all felt frustrated with each other, the three of them. These are big leaders. These are major leaders of the movement. Mahamsa Swami was a major leader in India, even in Bombay at one time. So they felt frustrated and they wanted a solution. But in the frustration and looking for a solution, they refused to speak to each other. So how can you go on? And their only solace and strength was Srila Prabhupada. And he was there, just trying to make it work out like that. So the one day, they were looking for some solace and looking for some direction and want to feel inspired, and the only source of solace and direction and inspiration is Srila Prabhupada, like that. So each one of them separately, at the same time, they were going towards Srila Prabhupada's room, and the other didn't know that each one was going to Prabhupada's room. Because they were feeling, you know, we want to serve Prabhupada, but we cannot work together, something wrong here. So they were moving towards Srila Prabhupada's door, to his room, like that. And then they all looked at each other, oh, how come we all three, and we want to enter there because we all have the same problem, you know, like that, see. So they knocked the door, and they all three entered, but separately in their consciousness. They're looking for solace, inspiration, strength, and direction. You know, and Prabhupada says, no, you have to work together. I don't want to work this separately, like that. So they all three entered the room. Prabhupada opened the door, they entered the room, and they were astounded at what they saw. Like that. The sun was shining through the window. It was bathing Srila Prabhupada, you know, as if he was, you know, this bright effulgence was coming. Sun was bathing Srila Prabhupada with his golden rays, right there. And Prabhupada didn't even know they entered the room. And they couldn't notice that. They were desperate. And desperate. So Prabhupada's eyes were firmly closed, and they saw that Prabhupada's eyes, when it was closed, there was no stress. Like that. They were under stress and depressed. But Prabhupada's eyes, there was no stress, there was no strain, there was no tightness But his eyes were tightly closed in that sense, like that. And he was standing, and he was sitting upright, you know, behind his desk, very, you know, aristocratically, on his cushion. And then they looked carefully, and they saw that his right hand was in his bean bag, like that. And Judges explains that everything was like, they could feel what is Golok. They could feel this is so spiritual, you know, completely spiritual. They could feel it like that. And they could understand that how attentively Prabhupada, and he looked at his at the bead bag, and he was fingering his beads. And sometimes you could hear the clacking as he rubbed between, you know, in his two fingers. And sometimes you can even see the bead bag rustling a little bit, you know, and his lips moving as he chanted his japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And they were observing every detail of Prabhupada. And they even observed how his tongue rolled in his mouth. He's explaining like this, how his tongue rolled in his mouth and how his lips moved in a circle. And by they hearing that he is chanting, but they can hear like that. They can hear like bees and looking for nectar. But by looking at his lips, they could see how carefully he was pronouncing each word, how carefully he was pronouncing each word. Prabhupada was not aware of this presence in a way like that. So then Jesus felt he seemed to be not with us, and he is relishing something so delicious that it's as if he's chewing the holy name at every bite. He's explaining like that. That's how he felt, like that. See, and his chanting was so distinct, and the words were very clear as they came close, and the words were like articulate. Articulate means, you know, it's like as a relationship, you know, articulate. You know, you're so articulate with Krishna, the holy name, you know, in that way. And each syllable was so powerfully chanted. Not just each name, each syllable. Hare Krishna, Rama. Each syllable. Like that. So simultaneously, each one of them, Mahamsa Swami, Ansadutta Swami, and Tejas, they looked at Prabhupada, and automatically, their hands went into their bean bag. Automatically, their hands went into the bean bag. And they joined Srila Prabhupada in chanting japa. They thought Prabhupada didn't know. Prabhupada can be internally absorbed, and by the higher arrangement, he can know what's happening externally. But sometimes it may not know, but super soul is there, in that sense, like that. So at least, for that, you could say, Tejas was saying, that for that minutes, when they put their hand in the bead bag and started chanting, in the association of Prabhupada chanting japa, when they did that, then they felt all the differences were gone. All the differences were gone. And Tejas was feeling, why are we fighting? You know, we are doing the same thing for the pleasure of the holy name of Prabhupada. You know, he's feeling like that. All three of them felt the same way. All three of them felt the same way. Like that. So therefore, together, and then they felt, okay, we are brothers and this is our father. They felt that way too. We are brothers and this is our father. I'm not your enemy and you're not mine. Like that. And then they watch the Prabhupada with wide open eyes in that sense. It was very rare to see Srila Prabhupada in that type of vision and that type of darshan, completely absorbed in chanting japa. So after some time, as the Prabhupada is all-knowing, he opened his eyes just for a moment and he looked at all three of them, and without moving his head, and he looked gently at all three of them, but very grave and serious like that. And he looked at one after another and he told them, "You just go on chanting japa and all your problems will be solved." This is the fact. This is the fact. Coming back to Brahmananda Prabhu. Brahmananda Prabhu said, "I was a preacher. I opened many places in Krishna consciousness. I only honored Krishna Prasad. I had personal association with Srila Prabhupada. But the one thing that can make you fall down is if you do not chant japa." He said, "I led many kirtans. Even the earliest kirtans in 22nd Avenue." He said, "But the one thing that will make you spiritually weak, is if you do not chant your japa. And that's the very same thing that can solve all your problems. Can solve all your problems in that way." Now, one time, okay, we'll save that for another time. Srila Prabhupada used to in one sense, reciprocate differently with his disciples and reciprocate differently with non-devotees and reporters. He reciprocated differently. So he had one female disciple and her name was Bhakti Devi Dasi. Like that. So she was in a room conversation with Srila Prabhupada as early as 1972. Like that. And she was in the room. So she said, "Now is my opportunity. I will ask something. And I must ask something that is like so important, because I may not get another opportunity to directly have interaction with Srila Prabhupada." Like that. So in a sense, but also hearing Srila Prabhupada say so many times, you know, "Hey Radhe, Vraja Jeevike Chalalite, Hey Nanda Sunna Kutaha." So don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna will see you. And therefore he said the Goswamis, they did not say, "I have seen Krishna." They are searching for Krishna. Is he in Govardhan? Is he in the shore of the river Yamuna? They are searching for Krishna. So this is Vipralamba Seva. Prabhupada used to speak like that, and that's our line, like that. So in an innocence, you know, she asked, you know, Prabhupada, "Have you ever seen Krishna?" Prabhupada said one word, "Yes." One answer, "Yes." And then Bhakti Devi Dasi asked, "You know, in an innocent way, you have? You know, like that, you have?" Like that. Prabhupada said, "Yes, daily, every moment." This is then the intimacy of disciples. You won't tell that to other people. Every moment, like that. So this is that personality. Now, one disciple, I told this before, I tell it in many places, but I think I may have told this in my previous visit, but it is a wonderful thing. And repetition to enter the heart is very good. One disciple approached Srila Prabhupada and he said, "Srila Prabhupada, you know, you always say that you know, we should follow the four regulator principles and we should chant minimum 16 rounds. And we should engage in practical devotional service. And we should try to spread Krishna consciousness and only honor Krishna Prasad and so forth. We know the basic things that we have to follow like that. He told Srila Prabhupada, I am doing all these things, but what if at the time of death I don't remember Krishna? That's a most important question. So Srila Prabhupada said, what did I tell you to do? And the disciple replied, Srila Prabhupada, you told us that we should chant minimum 16 rounds daily, we should follow the regulative principles, and we should try to spread Krishna consciousness, have a reasonably good sadhana, and only honor Krishna Prasad. Like that. Prabhupada said, yes. But Prabhupada, I'm doing all these things. What if I don't remember Krishna at the time of death? Again, he's asking. Disciple is very worried. Nice, very worried. Srila Prabhupada said, what did I tell you to do? Disciple replied, everything said. And then you can see the disciple was really in anxiety. He wants to go back to Godhead. It's a very nice thing. He wants to go back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada, you know, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yam yam bhavi smaram bhavam. He's quoting like that. And Prabhupada says, you must remember me at the time of death and then you'll come back to me. Like that. And Srila Prabhupada turned around and told him, yes, Krishna may say, but what did I tell you to do? So he repeated the same things. And this is a fact. And then Prabhupada told him, I told you to do all these things, you follow that. But Prabhupada, what if I don't remember Krishna at the time of death? Srila Prabhupada said, I didn't tell you to do that. I only told you to do these things. And then the disciples said, but Srila Prabhupada, what if I do not remember Krishna at the time of death? Then Srila Prabhupada laid it straight. And Srila Prabhupada didn't want to say it, but he had to say it. And this is amazing. Srila Prabhupada said, that is not your responsibility. That is mine. Can you understand? You understand? Yes. So this is the most important thing. That Prabhupada will be there to take us by the hand at the time of death. Even if you do not remember Krishna, he will be there. Such a magnanimous personality. Is namo maha maha vadanyaya. More and more magnanimous even than Lord Chaitanya. And therefore, if the disciple excels the guru, it is the glory of the guru. See? So if Prabhupada even excels Lord Chaitanya, it's the glory of Lord Chaitanya. So this is the beauty. And this is the mind bhagya. This is the Mahabhagavata. This is the greatly fortunate situation for anyone who's connected to ISKCON and who's connected to the founder Acharya. Who is in ISKCON and connected to the founder Acharya. Srila Prabhupada will be there to take us by the hand. That is so important in that sense. Coming to this particular Yatra, Nairobi Yatra, and this particular dam, the Dham of Shishi Radha Bhakti Bihari, like that. I travel widely. Recently, I haven't been traveling widely because of health reasons, but I travel widely. It is wonderful to see that in this particular temple, the chanting of the holy names, especially japa, is taken very, very seriously by the leaders. Every morning, I see the temple president, his good wife, and the vice presidents and their families, and so forth, yet fully for the morning program and chanting japa fully. It is very rare to see leaders chanting within this. And I guarantee you, without any hesitation, without any doubt, but with full realization, all good fortune and all facility will automatically come if that is only happening. And this place will expand more and more. East Africa will expand in this preaching. Simply because the leaders are doing the foundational thing, which I have expressed from the foundational verse from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, quoted from the Padma Purana, on which this ISKCON movement is based upon, the chanting of the holy names. And especially the personal chanting of the holy names in relation to japa, which Prabhupada so much emphasized on, like that. And he said, if you chant like this your japa, all your problems will be solved. Even if there's differences amongst us, the differences are healthy, provided it does not breed competition and envy. It does not breed competition and envy. Differences are healthy, but those differences are reconciled that everyone is on the same page of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra Japa. Like that. Everyone's on the same page. Like that. So therefore I always look forward to coming here because I know I get advanced association. Because devotees are serious, especially the leaders are serious here in chanting the japa. They know that it is built upon that. And if you build anything on chanting japa, you will not be affected by Ishvara Bhav. You will not be affected by the desire to control, but you will be affected by the desire to serve, just by chanting japa, in that sense. So you are fortunate that you have such leadership here. Just on the basis of chanting japa, everything else is reconciled and automatically comes in that way. So therefore it is so important that Srila Prabhupada has given us the basic activity of the chanting of holy names, and it's the foundational activity on which our differences are reconciled and all problems are resolved. And we can go on together in a united way to be Krishna conscious by chanting japa and to spread Krishna consciousness by engaging in kirtan and by engaging in prasadam distribution, engaging in book distribution, engaging in and organizing festivals and so forth. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Kodi Vaishnavrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada V.S. Pooja Mahamotsava ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur. Prasadam is? Downstairs? Oh yes, my nonsense. And one more thing I just wanted to say. When a leader chants more than 16 rounds, it covers for the weaknesses of others and Krishna consciousness still flourishes. It's like a king. When the king does more for the people, the weak people become still strong. And I've seen your leader here. in the form of Umapati Prabhu, he chants far more than 16 rounds daily. Why? Because I live with him. I stay here. And I notice who's doing what, who's not there for Mangalati, who's not chanting, who's chanting. You understand the point? So you know a person if you live with them. If you live with them. And this personality, and he's infected others with the same thing, who chant more than 16 rounds. They cover for the weaknesses of others. And in that way, there's strength, collective strength. In that way. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, he has wonderful Vaishnava quality, only to see the good quality devotee. I don't chant, so I commit more offenses than chanting. Okay, so today we are celebrating Vyasa Mahamahasav, the Divine Grace Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And today's prasadam is sponsored by Sriman Mihir Patel. So this was a Prabhupada was such a nectarian now. Time became 9:30 and you must be hungry also and tired. Please go take prasadam. Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada Katha is an unlimited ocean, too deep and too high.
So, Prabhupada Katha is unlimited and eternal. It's too deep and it's too high. There's no bottom and there's no sky. Therefore, it's too deep and too high. So, you want to take in if tomorrow evening? Huh?
Yes, he wants.
You'd like to come tomorrow evening?
Yes.
There's a lot. There's oceans of nectar. So, we should have it here in the temple room. It's the most auspicious place. Yeah. So, what time would you like to start the katha? Would you want me to like to be with you and start Prabhupada katha?
7:30.
But you must come for Gora Arati also. And don't only come for prasadam. But if you want to come for prasadam, that's also part of our preaching, to distribute prasadam. So there will be full prasadam tomorrow. So who's sponsoring tomorrow?
No, temple.
He said, temple has enough funds. Alright, so we'll meet you again tomorrow. I look forward to your association and kindness upon me in discussing Krishna consciousness in relation to the mercy and guidance and protection of Srila Prabhupada. As Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shivyasa Puja Mahamotsav ki jai, Bhagavat Prasadam ki jai, Nitai Go Premanande.
Shivananda. Hey, Haribol.